you have a Bible with you tonight and you want to follow a reading, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians and chapter number 15. And we'll read together at verse number 1. Paul is writing here to Christians in the church at Corinth. And he says this: "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also are ye saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Verse number 20. "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept." Verse 23. "But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming." And God always blesses, we know, the public reading of his own holy word to our souls. Now, as I'm sure everyone will have noticed, we have just had to endure another general election where the political parties have put together their manifestos. And what are their manifestos? Well, it's really just a list of promises to us. The promises that they make to us in return for something, in return for our vote. The political parties are looking for our vote, and in return for that, they tell us what they're going to do for us, the promises that they make. But you will probably have noticed that one political party in particular said that this general election was a matter of trust. They wanted to make the general election a matter of trust. And it's very important, isn't it, that when we're going to think about the people who govern us and make decisions about our life and about our well-being and about our welfare, that it should be somebody that we can trust. But we're not here tonight to think about electing a government or about politicians. We're here tonight just for a short time to think about the gospel. That's what the Apostle Paul said when he was writing to these Corinthians. He said, "When I came to you, I came with a message." And he said that message was called the gospel. And tonight, as we're gathered together in a gospel meeting, that message is exactly the same. It's the very same message that Paul preached all these years ago, away down in a different land, away down in a different city, the city of Corinth, but it's just the same message tonight. It's the message of God. It's the good news of salvation through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul says that that message is just called the gospel. And we have in our Bible God's promises. And we have in our Bible what God tells us about our well-being and his promises to us about our welfare. But this is not a political manifesto. These are the promises of God. And tonight too, this is all about a matter of trust. The gospel is a matter of trust. It's a matter of who we should trust. What we should trust, it's a matter of believing. And just simply in the gospel tonight, I want to speak about believing. And I want to speak about belonging. Believing and belonging. You see, the Apostle Paul, when he came to these people, as we come tonight to New Cumnock, we come to preach the gospel. The word itself simply means good news. And we want to tell you tonight, on the authority of the Word of God, that there is good news. The political parties were all being accused and all accusing one another of running a negative campaign, of spreading fear, and of being very negative. Well, the gospel, as we come to it tonight, is the Word of God. Its author and source is God Himself, and it's a message of good news. It's a message of hope. It's a message of salvation. It's a message, the Bible tells us, will take us from darkness to God's marvellous light. It's a message the Bible speaks about being taken from the dunghill and placed in palaces, taken down from the depths and raised up to heights that we could never imagine. The gospel is indeed a message of good news, of hope, of salvation. It's a message that brings joy. It's a message that brings rejoicing. It's a message that brings peace and satisfaction and security. It is the gospel of God. And we commend it to you tonight, first of all, for your consideration, that you'll consider these things, that you'll think about them. But we pray too tonight that in considering these things together, you might believe the gospel. For the apostle says, Paul said, when I came to you and I preached the gospel, he says, you received it. You received it. Now the Bible, of course, when it was written, was not written in an English language. It was written in Hebrew and in Greek. And it's been translated into English for us to understand. But we're told from those who understand the old languages that this was written in, that this word received means that this happened at a point of time in the past. There was a moment, there was a time in the lives of these people when they received this message of salvation. And more often than not, in the lives of those who believe the gospel, it's a crisis point. It's a time perhaps for some when they have never heard this message before, and it comes to them in simplicity but in power. And perhaps on the first time of hearing it, God speaks to the heart. And the man or woman or the boy or girl receives that message and believes it. And that very moment, their sins are forgiven. Or for some, perhaps more commonly, they have heard this message a few times, or even many times. And God has been speaking, not in a big, loud, overpowering voice, but in a still, small voice. God has been speaking over a period of time and telling the heart that we're a sinner, convicting our lives of our sin and our guilt, and leading us by His Spirit to the point where we realise we're going to have to make a decision. We come to the point almost where we can't resist it anymore. And just in the simplicity of childlike faith, in our own heart, we cry to God for salvation. We ask the Lord Jesus Christ to become our Saviour. And Paul says to these Corinthians, these people who lived in Corinth, there was a point in time when you believed it, you received it, and he says, by which also are you saved. I like that word. It's a good Bible word. It's a very short and simple word. He says, you were saved. What happened when you were saved? Well, first of all, what happened was we realised that we could do nothing for ourselves. We might have been trying hard to be a better person and to live a better life, to be a better citizen, and in some kind of way to earn credits with God, we realised that it was all in vain. And it was no use. We were never going to be able to be the kind of person that we thought that God would let into heaven. And we came to a realisation and an understanding that that was not the way. We came to understand that what we needed to do was to turn to another, to forget about ourselves, and to come and trust another. And that person was no less than God's own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We were going to have to put our trust in Him. We were going to have to believe in Him. At that moment, we asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our heart and into our lives and to save us. That is, we understood that we were sinners. That when measured against the standard of God, we simply fell short. Whether it was in a little way, and whether it was in things that seemed so insignificant, and in our society at large, wouldn't even blink at nowadays, or whether it was big sins, maybe sins that only we knew about, we came to understand that God knew about them, that God hated them, and that as a sinner, we were guilty before a holy God. We needed to be saved. We needed to be changed. We needed to be converted. We needed to be rid of these sins. And that by placing our faith and trust in Him, we received forgiveness. Forgiveness. And in that moment when we trusted the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, and we were saved, we received and we experienced the forgiveness of God. We remember preachers telling us about all the things that happened to us when we're saved, so many of the blessings of God that we come into. But just at that moment when we trust Him, we only know this, that our sins are forgiven, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Saviour, and we're saved. We're going to heaven. But what was it that these people believed? What is the gospel message? What is the message of God for us today, tonight, in New Cumnock, the gospel message? Well, the Apostle Paul just makes it so simple and so clear, and he breaks it down to this. He says, Christ died for our sins. And He was buried. And He rose again the third day. There are places in the Bible as we read through it that sometimes can seem so complicated and so difficult to understand. And sometimes to understand it, we've got to read chapter after chapter after chapter. But there are some bits of the Bible that are so simple and so clear and so plain. And here is one of them. The Apostle Paul says, what is the gospel message? What is the core of it? What is the crux of it? He says, Christ died for our sins. If we're going to be saved, we can't bypass this. We've got to come, as it were, to the foot of the cross. We've got to come to a lonely, desolate place of execution outside a city 2,000 years ago. And to a place that was really dreadful. And an occasion and a situation that was really awful. And here is a man being led out to die, condemned to death, and led out to die a horrible death, and a cruel death, and a painful death. And here is no other than the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son. And He's led out to be crucified. Here is one who had come. And He had done so much good and brought so much kindness and blessing to men and women. And He had glorified God in His life. And he had revealed God to men and women. Here was one who had come. And he had taught men and women about all the goodness and kindness and long-suffering mercy of God. Here was one who had come, and he had brought peace, and he had brought healing, and he had been like no other man who had ever lived before. And yet in the final, when men and women had decided whether they wanted to receive him or refuse him, they cried, "Crucify him. Crucify him. We don't want him. We don't like him. We don't want anything to do with him. We want him to be taken out. And we want rid of him." And so they led him out to die. Raised up on a cross to die. But what was happening? Was it a disaster? Was it a departure from the intention of God? No, in fact, the Word of God tells us that just at the right time, just at the time that God had foreordained and planned before he even created the world, the Lord Jesus Christ was led out. And he was led out to bear away the sin of the world, to offer himself a sacrifice for sin, the Lamb of God. And here is one who had come to do what we can't do for ourselves, to pay the price for sin and to offer an acceptable sacrifice to God for our sin. And so what was happening was, here was one who had come to be our substitute, come to take our place, come to pay our price. And when the Lord Jesus Christ died at the cross, he died for our sins. And I want to ask you tonight, do you believe that? It's about believing, you see. Do you believe that when the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on Calvary's cross, that he died for your sins? You can't say you believe the gospel if you don't believe that. If you haven't come to understand that here is one who took your place, died for you. We've probably said it before, but the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, came into the world. And he came to die to save the world. He came for the ungodly. But I want to ask you if he came to die for you. You remember the Apostle Paul said elsewhere when he was writing, it's in our Bible, he said, "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Christ died for our sins. And he was buried. That reminds us just that he really did die. He didn't faint. He didn't just go into a coma, but he really died. And he was buried. And that burying would really speak to us of this. That the past is over. The past is behind us. And that we can't continue as we were. Repented of our sins. And about turn a full 180 degrees. The life that we were living before. The direction we were travelling in was away from God. In rebellion against him. But we've repented of that. We've turned away and all the old life is now finished. And all the old habits are gone. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But you know, it's not just about the old things. It's about the new things. All the good things that God has brought us into. The Bible speaks in the Old Testament about God having almost like a storehouse of blessing. And he's just longing to open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. God loves us and cares for us. And he's longing to bless us. To give us a life that is full. And that is satisfying. The kind of life that God intended us all to live. the kind of life that sin has ruined, the kind of life that sin has corrupted, the kind of life that sin robs us of. And God is longing to bless us. So he was buried. But he rose again the third day. He is in heaven tonight, and he's a living Saviour. This is not a dead religion of rules and regulations. This is not about thou shalt and thou shalt not. This is about a living Saviour who is alive in heaven tonight at the right hand of God, and he bears in his body the marks of Calvary, the nail prints in his hand and in his feet. We want to tonight commend to you the living Saviour, and the one we can trust to save us from our sins and to take us to heaven one day. I want to ask you tonight if you believe the gospel. If there has been that time in your life where you have simply surrendered self and asked him to come into your heart and to come into your life and to be your Saviour, you put your trust in him. You believe the gospel. You put your faith in him. It's all about believing. And it's all about belonging. You say, what do you mean, belonging? Belonging to a church? No, not at all. Belonging to the gospel hall? Not a bit of it. It's about belonging to him. It's about belonging to Christ. You see, that's why we read verse 23. Afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming. I want to ask you tonight, do you belong to him? Is he your Saviour? Is he your friend? Have you given your life to him? Have you given your heart to him? Do you belong to him? For the Bible here is telling us that not only did he die, and not only was he buried, and not only did he rise again the third day, and not only is he seated in heaven tonight as we speak, but there is coming a day very soon when he's going to rise again. He's going to rise again to come to the here. And in coming, he's going to come to take away from this earth all those who belong to him. All those that are Christ's. I want to ask you tonight if you're ready for that. He's coming again and he's coming soon. He's coming to the here and he's coming soon. It could be today. I want to ask you tonight if you're ready. Are you ready for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ? For after he's come, and after he's taken all those who belong to him away, then there will be no more gospel. There will be no more good news of salvation through faith. God's patience will have run out. I want to ask you tonight, if he were to come now, Bible says he'll come in a moment, in the blink of an eye, and it'll be very soon. Now the Bible doesn't teach us to look for signs, as if world events would kind of tell us that he's going to come soon, but it is true. The Bible tells us that this world is just going to get worse and worse. And men and women are going to get further and further away from God. We just have to look about us to see that that's true. And the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ is very near. I want to ask you if you belong to him. If he come, were to come tonight, would you go to be with him for all eternity? It's all about believing. It's all about belonging. We do trust tonight that before it's eternally too late, you'll consider these things. That you'll remember that Christ died for our sins. and was buried, and he rose again, and he's alive tonight, and he's a living Saviour, and he longs to save. He's a God who loves us and cares for us so much that he sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. Tonight all we have to simply come and do is to bow the knee and bow our heart and tell God that we're sorry for our sin, but that we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us, and we want him to be our Saviour. We want him to cleanse us from our sin, to come into our heart, to come into our life, to cleanse us from our sin, to be our Saviour. And whether it be in his return to the air, or whether it be through the article of death, that when we pass out of this life into God's great eternity, it will be to be absent from the body and immediately present with the Lord in God's fair heaven for all eternity. May God bless his word to us tonight. Shall we pray? Our Father, we do bow again in thy presence. We thank thee for thy goodness and thy kindness toward us, in and through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do thank thee for thy long-suffering kindness. We thank thee that one came and took our place, and we do thank thee tonight, our Father, that salvation is available through believing the gospel. We do pray tonight for thy blessing to be upon every never-dying soul in thy presence tonight. Part us with thy blessing, for we ask it in the Saviour's worthy and precious name.